And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour, broadcasting live here from our studios. And our studios are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And it's wonderful to have you with us on this Friday morning. And we appreciate you taking the time out of your schedules to join us. And we hope that you'll stay tuned for the next 45 minutes or so as we finish up on this week's theme here in the Grace Hour, which is reaching the world with the gospel, beginning in Jerusalem, moving into Judea, Samaria, and today, the uttermost parts of the world. And I think if you've been listening to the broadcast this week, you cannot help but be greatly encouraged with this great responsibility that has been entrusted to us by the Lord himself, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And, you know, we take such great comfort as we consider the challenge of evangelizing the world. But Jesus gives us so much hope because in Acts chapter 1, where he instructed his disciples to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, he gave them this wonderful promise: you will receive the Spirit of God. And I think it's the Spirit of God, friends, who makes the challenge of reaching a lost world with the gospel possible. And I know that you will more than agree with that great truth. So when we consider what it means to reach the world, I know that sounds like an overwhelming challenge for all of us, but maybe we could relate today's podcast to our first podcast this week, because reaching our world begins with reaching our Jerusalem. In other words, if we start locally, God will give us the capacity to reach out globally and to bring this gospel message to all those who need it so desperately. My name is Pastor John Love. I'm going to be joined momentarily by Pastor Gary Grenwall. We're going to be your hosts for this Friday podcast of the Grace Hour. And again, we are going to talk about reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the greatest evangelists of our day was, of course, Billy Graham, who has since, of course, gone home to be with the Lord. But one of the secrets of the effectiveness of his evangelism was that he delivered the gospel in such an understandable, practical way. It was always so clear. And he always seemed to lead people to a place where they made a decision for Christ. And we've witnessed some of those crusades either on television or perhaps some of you listening today actually were at one of the Billy Graham crusades. I know I had the opportunity to do that on a few occasions. Once in Springfield, Massachusetts, when Billy Graham spoke in that city. Another time on, I believe, yes, it was New York City, and it was right there in the middle of Manhattan. Incredible. Hundreds, I think there were thousands and thousands of people gathered together right in the middle of Manhattan. And it was just stunning to see Billy Graham proclaim the gospel message to the people of New York. And then finally, once here in the Baltimore area at the, I believe the, was either the old Memorial Stadium or the new Baltimore Orioles Stadium at Camden Yards, but it was just a blessing and a privilege to see him deliver the gospel message. And the interesting thing about what the Apostle Paul taught when he spoke to Timothy, he said that all of us have this responsibility to do the work of an evangelist. Now, granted, we may not have a gift like Billy Graham had to be an evangelist throughout the globe, but each of us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, has a responsibility to share this gospel with other people. And what a blessing and what a privilege it is. But again, I think that if we're going to reach our world, then we should start in our world, in our sphere of influence, the people that we know, the people that we interact with, the people that we work beside or go to school with or we see walking throughout our neighborhoods. Again, starting locally, God will give us that capacity to, again, reach out globally. And I just think it's so important because remember, Jesus' last command, which was to go into all the world with this gospel, should be the believer's first priority. And again, when you find believers that are actively engaged in reaching their world with the gospel, I think you find a healthy, satisfied, fulfilled Christian, because we're actually accomplishing or attempting to accomplish the very thing that Jesus left with us as that one great responsibility. Take this message, proclaim it to the world, and watch what God will do. You know, I believe it was Greg Laurie who sat down once with Billy Graham, and they just were talking together. And he said, you know, what would an older Billy Graham say to a younger Billy Graham in relationship to what he was going to preach about? And you know what Billy Graham said? He said, I would probably say to a younger Billy Graham, preach more about the cross and the blood of Jesus. And I like that, because it, maybe the best way to describe it is, we can do a lot of talking, and we can, in our sometimes feeble attempts to share the gospel with people, we might not necessarily hit the target. It's kind of like you want to bring home the bread. Now, let me share with you what I mean by that. On not just one occasion, but I think on a couple of occasions, my wife has sent me to the grocery store and basically said, just get the essentials. Maybe it's the milk or the bread, or just a couple of items that are most important to have in the house. And of course, not being the most qualified shopper, I'll go to the grocery store and I'll start to, you know, meander my way up and down the aisles, and I'll see, you know, cookies, and I'll see crackers, and I'll see soda, and I'll see chips, and I'll see all that. And I find myself filling a cart up with everything and then going home and taking everything out of those bags, and my wife asking me that question, that million-dollar question, where's the bread? And I have, I'm admitting it publicly, that I forgot the bread. It the very thing that I went to get is what I forgot. Sometimes in our sharing with other people, we can forget the bread. We can lose sight of the whole purpose of engaging some other people in conversation, which is to share the gospel. Sometimes you hear people say, well, I just want to become their friend. Well, I think that that's important, and I think it's necessary, and it's valuable. But the whole purpose of being with these people is not that we would become their friends, because we cannot save them. We cannot deliver them from sin, and we cannot, you know, forgive them of the sins that they've committed against a holy God. So we've got to make sure that we bring home the bread. Peter did that in the book of Acts after the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples. You know, Peter made sure that the gospel was proclaimed, and I love that. In other words, he didn't, you know, forget the bread. He brought the bread. He brought the essential message of the gospel, which is Christ died for you. Christ shed his blood to forgive you of your sins. God loves you so much that he has not withheld from you his only son, but has delivered him up for all of us on Calvary's cross. And that message has the power to change people's lives. Think about it, friends. It's changed our lives. It wasn't necessarily the articulate way that someone shared the gospel with me. It's simply the fact that someone shared the gospel with me. They brought the bread. And bringing the truth of the gospel to a lost sinner has the power to change their lives and to reconcile them as sinful people, reconcile them to a holy, holy God. So I just want to encourage each one of us this morning, because I know when I think of reaching the world with the gospel, by God's grace, myself and so many here in our ministry, like so many of you, have had the opportunity to visit other countries for the sole purpose of sharing the gospel, building up the believers in that country, in those local assemblies. And it's been a great, great blessing. I can't even begin to tell you how enriched my life has become because of these short-term mission trips that many of us have had the privilege of taking. So we can participate in reaching the world that way. And maybe many of you that are listening today have supported mission work overseas. That's another great way of proclaiming the gospel. We have a small Bible study that we do every other week in Harford County here in the state of Maryland. And not only do we meet and share God's word together with other believers, but at the end of those meetings, we take a small offering and we're helping to support the mission work in the country of Cambodia. Imagine that. That's like Bel Air, Maryland, impacting Phnom Penh in Cambodia. You know, this is how, practically speaking, we can help to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I just want to also share with you what that gospel means. We could kind of break it down and say it this way. And let's use the word gospel as an acronym, beginning with the word G. What's that stand for? God created us to be with him. Can't lose sight of that. That might be a great starting point when we're evangelizing and sharing the gospel with people. Just to say to them, did you know that God created you because he wanted to be with you? He loves you so much that we could even go so far as to say that heaven wouldn't even be heaven unless you were there. That's the value that God has placed on your life. And the word O in the word gospel means our sins have separated us from God. It's easy for us to say, yes, Jesus died for people's sins. No, Jesus died for our sins. And without him dying for our sins, that relationship that potentially we could have with God would not be a reality. The letter S in the word gospel. Sins cannot be removed by good deeds. This is the basic misunderstanding in our world and in our culture today. If I am good enough, somehow my goodness will cancel everything that I have done that is wrong in the sight of God. I wish that were the case. People that live that way hope that is the case. But the Bible makes it very clear that sins cannot be removed by our good deeds. And then you get to the letter P in the gospel, paying the price for sin. Jesus did that when he proclaimed on the cross, it is finished, paid in full. We couldn't pay for our own sins. Someone else couldn't pay for our sins, but Jesus died for them, paid for them in full. The letter E in the gospel, everyone who trusts in him alone, with no other assistance, no other help, everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And then the letter L in the gospel, life with Jesus starts right now, and it lasts forever. If you've never made a decision to trust Christ, the best way for you and I to continue to reach the world with the gospel is to start with you. Ask Christ to come into your heart, cleanse you of your sins, believe on him, and you will be saved. Jesus wants that opportunity for you to be with him forever. Well, as I mentioned earlier, folks, Pastor Gary Grenwald would be joining us, and he has joined us. Pastor Gary, we're talking about reaching the world today with the gospel. You know something about that. You operate here in our ministry, in the missions office. You have a heart to reach the world, and you've had great opportunities to go into so many different parts of the world and share the gospel. It sounds like an overwhelming task?
It does.
But it's reachable, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I was hoping you misspelled gospel and there were more letters in it. I was enjoying listening to you. That was amazing. Yeah. The power of the gospel. Yeah. It does speak to our hearts. It exposes our sin. It shows us the provision of God, right?
Yes.
It shows us the love of God. It gives us, and that message, can anyone like say that doesn't ring home with them? Be honest out there. I mean, maybe you prayed already, or maybe you said, I wasn't going to pray when he said pray, but be honest with yourself again. And there, you know, you don't have to look any further when you hear the gospel. You've heard a message that fits your life. And it gives you life eternal and also life on this earth. You know, Colossians 2, 5, and 6, as we've received him, we continue in him. So it gives us a way to, we call it sanctify ourselves. It gives us a way to progress in this life and to experience what we received.
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, reaching the world. As I was driving here, I was thinking of the church. And when people see love in the church, they see the they see the manifold sides of God, right? They see maybe care, maybe they see love, maybe they see wisdom. You know, there's so many sides of God you see in the church, and the power that the church has to go into the world. I mean, personally, like I don't know how I would have received a vision for the gospel outside of the church. I really, I'm so thankful what the church has given me. I can use my gifts in the church. It reminds me continually of God's call. The church does, you know, just it corrects me, you know, gives me a place to hide my life. You know, the church does. And, and then the church is always encouraged in vision. It always encourages in vision. So, going into all of the world with the gospel is so related to the church. We have affiliated churches, and it's just great to see brotherly love. It's unity is beautiful to see. It speaks. So, and then I can give you a story.
Absolutely.
Okay. A missionary I spoke to recently, he spoke about persecution. And actually, we're going to have a wrap at the convention on persecution. And when he goes out evangelizing, this group of people are highly persecuted. And here's his message. This is his desire. I want them to know Christ. So simple.
Yes.
To know a person that fits into your life, you know, a friend that will never leave you, a friend that will love you until the end, and a friend that will wash your feet while you're here on the earth, and then a friend that's waiting for you on the other side. Today, I have a dear friend, neighbor, a couple. I saw her ambulance come and bring her home for hospice, and she's saved. And I know her love for other people, her eyes, her communication skills, her hospitality. All of these things open people's lives up for other people. As I was thinking about her. And whenever you visited her, she had a silver tongue of redemption.
Wow.
And so a tongue is a beautiful thing, a way to reach people. And we're reaching people all the time through our expression of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we talk about knowing that our conscience is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It speaks to other people, doesn't it? When you're free in Christ, and it's like, You know, like God is lighting your path. You know, he's putting a lamp unto your path. You know, and you just when people see a confidence of somebody secure in Christ, I think it speaks to people. I've heard recently it's an amazing thing. Pastor Steve DeVries was in the Philippines, and he was teaching biblical psychology, and people were coming from all over, you know, in the Philippines. And instead of one session, it was filled up. He had to have two. People were sleeping in the church. And in just, they didn't care where they slept. They just wanted to hear the gospel. And it just always shows us, we have a hunger for just truth that sets us free.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like it. So anyway, these are just go ahead, Pastor Love.
I love what you're saying because just to have these conversations, to know these people like this woman that you just described. Because think about it, preaching is a monologue, right?
Yeah.
But when you're evangelizing, that should be a dialogue.
Wow.
Think about it. Let's talk about how we can ask maybe some questions that will lead to a spiritual conversation. Like, you could just start by talking to someone and say, who's your favorite person in history?
Well,
and why do you like them?
Yeah.
Or how about this one? That tattoo you have.
Right.
Why did you get that? Or what does it represent?
Right.
Sometimes I've seen people with tattoos and they got a Bible verse on there.
Yeah.
And I'll say to them, do you know that that's one of my favorite Bible verses?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, one person said, really? What does it say? And I thought to myself, well, you had it printed on your body in a permanent way. You're not sure what it says, but you know, you can say, well, this is what it says. And that opened up a whole conversation to share the gospel.
Wow.
I mean, some of these questions that we can ask, is there anything I can pray for you about?
Mm.
Is there something happening in your life that maybe I could be praying for? There's so many different ways that we could strike up a conversation with our goal is to share Christ, maybe to see a person come and believe on him. Because I think the connection between the first podcast this week, which is to reach Jerusalem, is really very much connected to our podcast today, which is to reach the world.
Mm.
You got to start in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
If you want to be effective to reach the uttermost parts of the world.
Yeah. Beautiful. So let me comment on two things on that. What you just said, when you ask a question, like that's what I teach in my class is like, you're ready to listen. You don't know what you don't know your next line. You do not know what it is. And the other thing is you don't fear rejection. You are totally like, and it's like, doesn't have to be driven to your secure places. And, if they are like rejecting you or if they're accepting you, you listen.
Yeah.
You listen. And like you were watching me talk and you were listening and I could talk forever when you see someone is really listening. And your next question comes from listening.
Mm.
It doesn't come from your list of questions. It actually comes from listening because you care about the person. The first one is a little bit abstract and it may be a little clumsy, but your second one, it really comes from you being a priest. You're listening to God and you're listening to them and you're a mediator between them and God, and you want God to give you something to say to them, and you really I'm reaching into your heart. I'm looking at your eyes, and I'm going deep into your life. You know, so yeah, your second question is only from listening.
Yeah,
it's only from listening, and then. There's one little thing that I think of when I evangelize, and then you can have a person, and they see it like, oh, he's listening. Who listens? Like, I love when, you know, I don't like to talk about my work, but when someone asks a question and they listen, I love talking about it.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
It's
like, that's the way I am, but I don't like talking about it. But if you ask a question and you listen, and your second question, I love talking about it. Do you know what I mean? It turns a switch on when people ask like that. I've noticed that. And the other thing is about evangelism, like Pastor Love, I mean, you've probably spoken to big crowds and things like that, but like, okay, 4,000 people and give them the gospel. Would that be a big crowd? Would that be a nice sized crowd?
Mm-hmm. Sure would.
You sure would. Mm. Okay. Okay. This is the way I thought in Germany. If I was there for 12 years, right? Just say I do three, 100 people a day, I give them the gospel. That's like almost one a day. Just one a day. I give them the gospel. It's not I give them a track. I talk to them. It's on a train or something like, sometimes it's two, sometimes it's three, sometimes it's none. So if I do that once a day, 300 days, so in 10 years, it's 3,000. So in 12 years, it's 3,600. So if I do a little bit more, that's how I got to 4,000. Mm. That's how I always thought.
That's a great
idea. And in 12 years, where they watched the basketball game, I know the Alba Berlin team, I think maybe it held 5,000 or 6,000. I don't remember. But in other words, I went into that stadium and I almost filled it up, or I probably did fill it up, and I gave that many people the gospel in the city of Berlin.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's one way to think about it.
It is. It's a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, listening, again, look at Jesus. He has this conversation with Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3. Yeah. I mean, it is a dialogue. Yeah, they're going back and forth.
Right.
And he is a... upright, religious man. But then you get to John chapter 4, and you've got an immoral woman talking to Jesus. But they are having a conversation.
Mm.
And then I love the story. Of course, we know that Jairus' daughter was very ill. We read it in Mark's gospel. He comes to get Jesus. Please come, heal my daughter. And Jesus starts to go to the home of Jairus. But he's interrupted by a woman with an issue of blood. And she just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. She did. And then after she did, the Bible says that she told Jesus her whole story. And he listened.
Mm.
He listened to such an extent that people came from Jairus' home and said, "It's too late. Your daughter's dead.
Right.
In other words, Jairus could have said, "Well, if you didn't stop and have to talk to this lady,
yeah,
and spend so much time listening to her story, my daughter might still be alive."
Mm.
But that's not how the story ends.
Right.
We know.
Right.
But that's amazing, the fact that he would listen.
Mm.
And I love the way that you described it. Yes, who wouldn't want to speak before a crowd of 4,000 people? But when you add up all of those conversations over the course of a year or 12 years, whatever the case might be, you've spoken to that many people.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It
so I just to focus on this whole idea of let's have a dialogue. Let's talk to people. Let's find out what makes them tick. Ask them, what makes them happy. If you could do one thing in your life, what would it be?
Mm.
Which could eventually lead to questions that I've asked people like, do you think you have a soul?
Yes.
Oh, that's a searching question, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It makes people stop, ponder, consider, reflect, and then say, well, maybe I do.
Yeah.
These are just different ways that we can start a conversation.
I just thought of as you're saying that. I mean, this is maybe a little it's not mystical, but just to seeking something material, just like say goods or friends or something like that, and then you can say, "Do you think there's something immaterial? Right?
Mm-hmm.
That is anything? You're right. Joy or happiness. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or when your emotions, is there anything that satisfies your emotions a lot? And is that valuable to you?" And, so there is something immaterial. And
wow.
Yeah, it's just great to talk to people. And it's a great time to learn. It's a great time to, I always apologetics was maybe not my strong point, but I loved listening to people and love listening to people kind of contradict themselves with apologetics in Germany. And then I could find something to talk about as I asked them questions about what they believe. I didn't like to give an apologetic answer because, then you're just kind of talking. But if you listen enough to a person that, where you would like to use apologetics, actually, you can use apologetics because you will get information. Don't panic right away with, about the when the Bible was written, how many authors it has. You have to start talking. But in the right place, And you listen, they contradict themselves, and you can talk to them about something. You can, their contradiction is exposed when somebody's intellectual. And because God has perfect wisdom, and you start to see the places where you can poke holes, you know, in their philosophy. So don't be intimidated by the philosophical person. Just listen to them.
Yeah.
And you'll hear a contradiction. And then don't go back and see, that's what I tell you about, right? No, and like, oh, listen to you. This is what I learned. Like, where did you get that from? Or can I tell you, you know, another way you can think? And he says, oh, sure. You know what I mean? You're not looking to win an argument. You want to win a soul. So, you know, you think a little bit differently, and you're not out there to prove to the person you're with that you're a really good talker. Mm-hmm. You want to prove to them you're a really good listener,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when you go out two by two, you know, you're trying to impress people with, you know, how you can win the soul. But it's like listening, and then, you know, sometimes they fall over and they say, you know, what should I do? You know what I mean?
No, I love that. I love that. And don't we sometimes underestimate the power of the gospel?
Mm.
Sometimes we think that the responsibility of sharing the gospel lies with the person who is giving it to them. In other words, if I articulate it the right way, if I present it in such a way, you know, like it all, the responsibility all falls on us. But
yeah.
Paul, the apostle, said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel.
Yes.
Because the gospel itself is the power of God that results in salvation. Wow. It's not so much about how we present the gospel as much as it's important that we present the gospel.
Amen.
The gospel has the power in and of itself to change people's lives. Even to say, God loves you, Christ died for you, was raised again so that you could be justified and live with him forever. You might say, ah, that's just theology. No, that's the gospel.
You believe it when you say it, and then it transfers to me, and then I believe it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like after I became a believer, I would still listen to a Billy Graham crusade on television. Yeah. And every time he would reach the end of his message and give the offer and the invitation to come to Christ, there was something in my heart that wanted to do it again. I didn't need to, because we understand that once you accept Christ, you don't have to repeatedly keep accepting him.
Right.
But it's the winning nature of the message of the gospel.
Oh, wow.
It's such a winsome message. You know, Greg Laurie tells the story. He sat down, he was getting ready to eat a hamburger at lunch, and a woman came up to him and she said, are you Greg Laurie? He said, I am. And she says, oh, so great. She goes, this is my husband. He's a heathen. Would you please tell him how to get saved? And Greg Laurie was like, oh no, that is not the best way to present the gospel message. He just ended up saying, nice to meet you. Enjoy your hamburger.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a right way to present the gospel.
Yeah.
There may be sometimes a wrong way to present the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, would you come and talk to my family? They're all a bunch of unbelieving heathens.
Right. Right.
You know,
right.
You show up and you say, I heard that you're all condemned to hell and I heard that you're all lost forever.
Pagans,
so I'm here to straighten you out.
Yeah.
No, we have such a winning message. All we have to do is be faithful to present that message and then watch the power of God go to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Two testimonies, like the gospel. Mark Minicello, Pastor Mark Minicello, is in our ministry. His father was like I think a Catholic, and but not going, not believing. And someone reached him, and the family wasn't going to church. And someone reached the father, and then, you know, his father started going to church, and he took Mark and, you know, Vinny. And so There's that aspect of, you know, this guy, like Mark was, I think, was surprised that his dad got saved or what was going on, you know, like, you know, a dad, you're 10 years old and you think you know your dad, and all of a sudden he's going to church and like his life is changing. And so, you know, Mark is a pastor, da, 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 da. I met another guy once, Same thing. His father was a blue-collar worker out in the Midwest. Family never went to church. Father ends up getting saved, and it was actually in Lancaster County. It was in Lancaster County, like you think everybody's saved up there. They're either Amish or a Mennonite or a Baptist, but they weren't. Someone in Lancaster County reached him, and the father got saved, took the whole family to church, and he was a pastor in the Midwest. I met him in a Starbucks. Right. So, you know, the gospel has generational impacts on families also. And it's a message that's eternal. Yep. It transforms people's lives. So
It did for us, that's for sure. And then to hear the message of the gospel back in the day when Pastor Stevens had the Telephone Time radio ministry, it just helped to build my faith. And then what a blessing for us to come into a church that is not necessarily just satisfied with, you know, feeding its present flock, which right. which we do in a very wonderful way. But we want to kind of cross the borders of our towns and cities and country and bring this message into the whole world. I mean, we all had the great blessing of recently going over to Latvia for the European conference.
Yeah.
What can we say about those opportunities and times of gathering together with believers from around the globe? It's incredible.
Yeah.
And we don't even have to speak the same language to know and to understand that we're all born of God and part of the same family.
Yeah.
The fellowship is so rich.
Yeah.
With or without a translation, we just connect because every one of us gathering there have been born of God. It's amazing. What a blessing to be a part of a ministry that reaches the globe with the gospel.
Yeah, I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. It's stretched. It stretches our belief in the gospel. I often think of Central Asia and what it means, what the gospel has meant to Central Asia, because, you know, it was the Soviet Union, Muslim areas, and traditionally atheists from the Soviet Union, but these people believe God. And I know Pastor Schaller recently, every Thursday he does a podcast there, I believe.
Yes.
And so I just often think of those and our meaning, our connection to them, you know, Pasha's parents and, you know, the Pozrednikovs, and just what they mean, the people from Baku, you know, we're so thankful for what it means. And then Hindus, I saw Hindus, former Hindus, sitting on the Massey's floor listening to a message, you know, in a living room. And then talk to them afterwards, and they're believers in Jesus Christ.
This is a recent trip to India, right?
The recent visit to India. I mean, that last day was so, so impactful in my life to see that. It makes me want to have a Bible study in my living room and have people invite people, or, you know, like have people come there and just hear. They look at it as a bridge to the church, their neighborhood, and their home Bible study is a bridge to the church. A vision like that is beautiful. And then, Hindus, you know, steeped in it.
Yeah.
And then they break away from all of that, the centuries, you know, of ideologies, and it's in their genes. Do you know what I mean? And then the gospel reaches them, and then they believe, and they are believers in Jesus, and their lives are being changed, sanctified by the message of the gospel.
Amen.
Yeah,
there isn't a country that I'm sure you would say the same thing that we have visited, where we can't just think about it. I think of the country of Poland, and you just think of wonderful, amazing, spirit-filled believers. the country of France, the Philippines, you mentioned, Thailand, you know, South America, whether it's Chile or Ecuador, Argentina. Yeah. God's given us many opportunities to visit some of these places. And yet when you just think about the country and the believers in that country, it puts a smile on your face. It brings joy to your heart. And you just maybe a burden to pray for them. And of course, as we wrap up the podcast today, we've got the International Convention coming up here in Baltimore. A great opportunity for those that are listening to come and meet some of these people from other parts of the world, to talk with them, to have that dialogue, to ask them questions, and to find out what God is doing in their part of the world is really amazing and greatly, greatly encouraging.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap it up. Final thoughts, Pastor?
Yeah, I just don't want to be familiar with the convention this year, right? Yeah, I want to be like treat it like it's I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It's such a blessing. Well, friends, we want to thank you so much for tuning into the podcast today. And it's been a great week because it just kind of refreshes our hearts and reminds us that yes, that last command before Jesus ascended has got to be our first priority.
Wow.
To go into all the world and share this winning, winning message of hope and forgiveness and love for those that need it the most. Pastor Gary, thanks so much for joining us.
Amen.
I know you got the last minute call today, but
hey,
we deeply appreciate you coming in here and keeping me from being lonely.
Hey, you. Wait, what was it you said about that 2x2? Yeah, you weren't. Oh, what was a monologue? It wasn't a monologue. It was a dialogue.
We had a
dialogue.
There
we go. That's what I wanted to say. We had a dialogue.
Amen. Thanks so much, friends. Have a great weekend and join us next week for a whole new week of podcasts right here on The Grace Hour.